Folks, we're going to continue in Gideon today. And, you know, I can't always express and say how it is that I know where to go to what to try to bring to the church. And I always pray about that. And so I couldn't tell you what my subject's going to be 3 weeks from now. I don't know. Brother Randy and I talked about that some while we were together. And I suppose for every preacher, it's a little bit different. Some people will try to plot out their subjects for the entire year and have a schedule to go by. I think that's great. Maybe one day I'll have that ability. I don't know. But I have to go where I feel like the Lord is leading me. And when we turned to Gideon, I felt that very strongly. Because I think sometimes, as Brother Merritt prayed, as we think about our country and the environment that we're in, it seems so applicable that people are behaving like they were in the book of Judges. Everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes. And they more and more people are becoming narcissistic. It's always about them. And so when you become that way, then you think you know more than the other person, and then your interpretation of what's right and wrong grows and becomes more preeminent in your life. And the more self-assured you are of that, the less you need God's Word to direct you. And I see that all around us in our society. Everybody trying to do what was right in their own eyes. So, and I'm just kind of re-summarizing and recapping now because it's been a little bit. But the Israelites turned away from God in spite of all of the admonitions and the leadership that they had from Moses and from Joshua especially. As soon as that generation was gone, they turned away and they worshiped false gods. And the book of Judges is a vicious, repetitive cycle of punishment when they turned away as God spoke and said. God's word doesn't change. So when he gave warnings and he spoke over and over about not to turn away to worship all these false idols, when they didn't listen, eventually the consequences came. And they fell under occupation, or at least having to endure being marauded by all those people who were around them. And it was a terrible lifestyle. But then God would have compassion and mercy, and he would raise up judges. And the judges would lead them back to God, and they would prosper. You would think that we, having the God's word recorded, would learn from history, wouldn't it? You know, I can't quote it exactly. I think it says a smart man learns from his mistakes, but a wise man learns from the mistakes of other people. Why can't we have the wisdom to learn from God's word like we should? But the people at that time didn't. So for six or seven times, the people would go into oppression, and then they would come out through the judges that the Lord would raise up. Gideon, folks, was just an ordinary person. He was young. He wasn't some superhero or anything miraculous on his own. But the Lord went to him. So as I bring this up to where I want to start back up today from where we left off a couple weeks ago, I just want to remind you that Gideon was an average person. Just like me and just like you. He was no different. So when we read these stories, we ought to apply it to ourselves personally. Because what they were able to do, we are able to do also. You see, the Lord went to Gideon, just like he goes to all of us. We've all raised our hands over. I've asked many times now to raise our hands if you believe that the Bible is God's word and you believe in God. And everybody in this congregation has done so. So we believe in God, and we believe his word. You see, God comes to us. And he speaks to us at times. The Lord went to Gideon. And Gideon, after the angel came to Gideon, I don't think was certain. But he presented an offering. And miraculously, the offering was accepted. The rock where it was placed caught fire and burned and consumed the offering. And then Gideon knew that it was the angel of the Lord. Prior to that, I think he believed that this person who had appeared was just another prophet. But now he knew that the angel of the Lord has spoken to him. And he told him a message that we've repeated over and over and over as well. Do not be afraid. And folks, we don't need to be afraid. If we take the one simple concept God gave us this day, you draw breath because God allowed it. The Lord is with us, and so we should not be afraid. And that's a message that the angel was giving to Gideon. And then he went on to say, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. You see, he was preparing and he was sending Gideon on a message. The Lord was about to use him. An average person, just like me and you. And we cannot forget what Ephesians tells us. That God chose us and he knew us before the foundation of the world. But folks, we were created to do good works. You see, we have responsibilities. And we can't shirk them. We're going to be obedient to God. But with this angel consuming that offering that he made, that proved that he was acceptable. And folks, we are made acceptable through Jesus Christ. So we have all the power and the understanding that we should have to do whatever comes before us in our life. We should have that faith. But now Gideon's faith was about to be tested. Starting in verse 25, so the same day when the angel appeared and Gideon made, this is where we're picking up. Now, it came to pass that same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of the rock in the proper arrangement. And take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down. Now I want to stop, and I'm going to read and stop a lot as we go through our message this morning to give a little perspective. This was Gideon's father's property, his land, his household, you might say his estate. And now that night, God is directing him down this altar that's on his own father's property and this Asherah pole that is there. Gideon may have had nothing to do with that. But his house, you might say, his household that his father was in charge of had allowed it. It was built on his property. Gideon may have had nothing to do with it. I don't know if Gideon ever worshipped there or not. But I think he felt regret over it. And now the Lord is giving him a task. You see, Gideon is going to have to go against his own father's house. And folks, that's not an easy thing to do. To go against your own family. But sometimes in this life, it happens. Sometimes in our life and in our families, we see people that just totally disregard God or deny God entirely. But folks, we can never give up on our families. We have to pray. We have to ask for God's leadership and forgiveness and for wisdom to know how to handle those situations. It's not easy. Like I said, Gideon may have had nothing to do with worshiping these false gods. But the place to worship was on his own father's land. And now the Lord is telling him he has to do something about it. But you see, I think Gideon understood. If you had a miracle occur right in front of you, like Gideon did, it's very sobering. And God's word should be sobering to us. It should focus our vision and our thoughts and perspective up to God. And what God tells us we need to be obedient over. I think it came back to Gideon's memory very quickly of everything that this nation, including his own father's house, had done in worshiping the false gods. Because over in the very beginning of this chapter, in the book of Judges, chapter 2, it tells us they forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. And folks, this was wicked, abominable worships that they did with these false gods. Romans 1:25 tells us this applies to what those people were doing, and it applied to the Romans and the Greeks in Paul's time when he said the following: they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever to be praised. Folks, don't you see that now in our societies? People want to exchange the truth of God for a lie. They want to worship objects and the what has been created rather than worship the Creator God Himself. See, everybody wants to do what's right in his own eyes and not what God instructs us to do. We have a way and an instruction book to live our lives by, and it's God's Word. And folks, just like the Israelites, if we stray from it long enough and far enough, we're going to have some bad consequences to deal with. The Israelites did. And to put it in better clarity, and I believe now that Gideon is understanding this, and he's embracing this, and he's willing to act on what he's telling him to do because of what the Israelites have done. And it still is applicable to us. We find it in the Ten Commandments in Exodus. Here the Lord speaks to Moses, and he speaks to the children of Israel not all that long before when these things were occurring, and it speaks to us today. And the very first commandment, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. That is the very first commandment. No other gods before me. And then the second commandment follows on its heels. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, and showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. And folks, I believe that when you start making false gods that you are going to worship, you hate God to do that. You have to hate God. You might be led astray in worshiping something else, but when you're the one that created those things, yes, you hate God. And you might not want to hear that. You might say, well, that's hard preaching. Some churches won't use the word hate anymore. Well, God hates sin. And He hates the false gods that lead people astray into destruction. He hates it. And who are we? We are God's people. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth, the preservative of God's Word, that tells other people not to worship false gods and false idols. But societies go astray, and I blame that on God's people not having the courage to speak out. And I include myself in that. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody here. I'm talking in general about all of God's people. That's how societies go astray. There used to be a song by the group named Casting Crowns, and it's talking about families and societies crumbling. And I remember a few of the lyrics that, and I can't quote them exactly. Daddies never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade as we give our lives away. You see, we give in to all the false doctrines and to all the bad social influences that are upon us. And we don't speak out and we don't push back. What it really boils down to is that we start allowing other things in our priorities in our lives to shift, and other things become more important than God's Word and our obedience to it. That's the position that the Israelites were in. But God has come to Gideon, and he has accepted Gideon's sacrifice. Gideon should have all the faith he needs to do what the angel told him, to go in this might of yours. You see, we have faith. It's all we need to be obedient to God's Word. So Gideon chooses, and it is a choice to be obedient. You know, that's what behavior is. We behave certain ways because we make choices. Are we going to choose to abide by what we've been taught, by what God's Word instructs us to do? Gideon is now going to be obedient and do his best to accomplish the task that he's been told to do up in verse 25. Let's go on to verse 27. And we're going to stop again because I just want to give a little more perspective. So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. So perspective again. Gideon is wanting to destroy the temple to Baal and cut down this Ashtoreth pole and make a burnt offering using the wood from that Ashtoreth pole to God. But he doesn't know how to accomplish it just yet. You think about it. Gideon was a young man. How do I do these things? You see, it says here that he took 10 men from among the servants. So that means that there were more than 10 servants in this family, in this household at that time. I don't know how big Joash, his father's estate, was, but he must have trusted 10 of the men. And so he took them, and he explained what he needed to do. And they followed Gideon. But Gideon was going against his own household, and that, folks, that took a lot of courage. And there could have been bad consequences over that. But he cared more about what God said than the consequences that he was going to face. But he was aware of them because he said he feared his father's household and the men of the city. So I'm not going to say that some people will, and I've read several commentaries around this subject. Oh, well, Gideon was a coward at this time. I don't believe that for an instant. I believe that Gideon wanted to try to accomplish what God was telling him to do. So how could he do it? He knew that there were obstacles. He was determined to be obedient, so he cared more about accomplishing God's word than having the confrontations that would have prevented him from doing it. So he did it at night. You see, it took will, it took thinking, it took a determination to do what he wanted to do. And, you know, it comes back to us. How determined are we to keep God's commandments? Sometimes there's a lot of obstacles that get in our way, and we don't keep his commandments in our lives, do we? It's not the very first thing that we focus on in our lives. It's so easy to get things out of the proper position. But Gideon was determined, and he went forward, and he did what God told him to do. Let's keep reading verse 28. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, there was the altar of Baal torn down, and the wooden image that was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was being offered on the altar which had been built. So right there for just a moment, I want to pause and just make sure that you understand this bull had been burnt. It was a burnt offering, and it was still smoldering, perhaps burning. The remains of it were still there when those people in the city got up. And folks, they weren't stupid. They knew what this meant. This was an offering to the God of Israel. There was no mistaking. They all could see it. All these people, and some of those people had willfully turned away to worship false gods. And then verse 29, so they said to one another, who has done this thing? And when they had inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Then the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son, that he may die, because he has torn down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the image that was beside it. You see, a choice has been made right here by they wanted to worship Baal and the false gods. And they were so upset that it had been torn down that now they wanted Joash to bring out his own son so they could kill him as punishment. That's how wicked the people's hearts had become. Where were the people who still had allegiance to God? I guess you could say Gideon and maybe those 10 people that listened to Gideon to tear down the offering to Baal and the altar. And now the city is fighting back, and they're mad. You know, folks, that's the same thing that happens today. The world will push back against us sometimes when we try to do what's right, when we speak out for God, because it offends them. You see, people want to be able to justify their wicked ways. That's what human nature does. And if we're honest, we have to say we've all been ourselves. We'll make excuses. We'll find a way to justify doing, or just ignore what we're doing as being bad, and in some cases even try to change God's word so we don't be condemned by what it says. That's what this city was doing. That's what our society does. That's what happened to Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk was shot and killed and assassinated because he presented the Bible to the people where he went. And you know, the Bible is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can condemn. And folks, condemnation can be a wonderful thing because it should open our eyes that, yeah, I'm a sinner. I need to change. But just like the people in this city, sometimes they don't want to hear it. They don't want to change. But there's something in here that we're about to read. You see, in the next verse, we see a changed heart. And we see courage. Let's read this next verse, two verses together, and then we'll stop again. But Joash, and that was Gideon's father, said to all who stood against him, "Would you plead for Baal?" And he's talking to this crowd of people. It says all the city. So I have to think it was several hundred people, maybe over 1,000 people. I don't know. But he's saying, "Would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who would plead for him to be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him plead for himself, because his altar has been torn down." Stop right there before we read verse 32. Something miraculous has happened. You see, Joash allowed the worship of Baal on his property. But I believe God changed his heart. I don't know if he saw the miracle that Gideon saw. It says that Gideon was in his wine press. Maybe he saw it. I don't know. Maybe Gideon told him about it. The Bible doesn't say. But something happened to Joash. And now he's standing up against the crowd. You see, it took a changed heart to do that because formerly he allowed it. Now he's defending Gideon and the tearing down of Baal's altar and the Asherah pole. It took courage to speak out against that mob, however you want to envision it. A mob of people, a bigger group of people. It says the whole city came and they're gathered on his property and they're demanding that he send out his son so they could kill him. You see, it's not easy, is it? Sometimes to stand for God's word. But now suddenly we see a changed heart in Joash. And we see the courage to speak out. And what he says is true. And if I summarize it, okay, if this Baal is indeed a god, let him defend himself. Let him punish Gideon. You don't need to do it. That's what he's telling the people. And verse 32 says, "Therefore, on that day, he called him Zerubbabel, saying, 'Let Baal plead against him because he has torn down his altar.'" And when you look up that name, Zerubbabel, that's what it means. The Jewish names always have some type of meaning. It means that he who stands against Baal. And that was the name that was given to Gideon from this day on. He had the courage to push back and to tear down this altar. But folks, just as amazing as what Gideon did is what Joash did. Joash, if you think about it, is transformed from the keeper of this worship for Baal, this altar, and this Asherah pole. I don't know if he gained financial, there was some financial gain because from the Midianites because he allowed it to happen, or if it was just the people of Israel needed a place and he bowed to them, maybe they paid him. I'm speculating here. The Bible doesn't say. But he was a keeper. He allowed it. And folks, you know, when we allow sin in our homes, in our families, and we are supposed to be the heads of the household, we're not doing what's right. We have to be willing to set the example. And that is true in our society today. We are God's children. And we are called to do good works. As we've been studying the past few weeks, we were called to be a blessing. And folks, to be a blessing to other people, you have to share God's word and live it. Live that faith. That's the best way we can be a blessing to anybody. Because all these evil influences come upon not only us, but other people. And they need guidance. Now Gideon was standing up to give guidance. And Joash has had that effect, the same thing affect him. He has a newfound faith, and he's standing up. And to me, it illustrates the power of God to bring about change and redemption in a sinner's heart. Joash changed because of the influence from Gideon. You know, we can never overlook the influence of God's Word, be it from a younger person, be it from an older person, whoever it may be. God speaks to us in different ways. And we need to be willing to listen, to hear, to observe when God talks to us. And to me, it's a reminder of the importance of our faithfulness to God and the courage that is needed to stand against the cultural and religious pressures that are on us, because they're there. Gideon had that courage, and Joash had that courage too. I don't know which it was harder for. I'll take that back. It was harder for Gideon. Gideon did it by being obedient to what the angel told him to do. He took the initiative in spite of the face of all the odds. Now Joash, he had courage too. I think he did it out of remorse for what he had done. He did it out of the shame over what he had done and allowed in his own household. And he did it out of the love for his son. And it turned the tide of that evil crowd and mob that wanted to kill Gideon. The Lord was in what Joash did. You see, there is none of us that the Lord cannot use to fill His intended purpose. And there is none of us, if we love God, that we can't turn away from our sin and return to Him. Joash did. Matthew's concise commentary says the following about Joash. God, who has all hearts in His hands, influenced Joash to appear for his son against the advocates for Baal, though he had joined formerly in the worship of Baal. Let us do our duty and trust God with our safety. Have you thought about that? Your safety? You know, sometimes it's pretty risky to speak out. Again, I'll use Charlie Kirk as the example. But there's others. It's not just Charlie Kirk. I mentioned Charlie Kirk for a couple reasons, folks. He was just an average person like me and you. But he had zeal for the love of God. And he was willing to share that. Just like me and you, we can share it too. Now, we may not have the oratory abilities and skills that he had. That doesn't matter. We don't have to present everything in flowery prose. We just need to share our faith. Yes, God gave me life. God gave me this day. God gave me faith in my heart, and I believe in Jesus Christ, and He is the only way to salvation. We can all share that, but we don't always do. There are consequences, and we may face pushback for it. It takes courage, but you know something else? Just like has happened with Gideon and Joash, the example from one can encourage another. You might be the example to encourage another person. Hebrews tells us in 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Gideon had to have that faith to do what he did. It was a promise. It is a promise to us. We need to be faithful and hold fast to our confession, and we need to hope. Because He who tells us to go in this might is the Lord. And we need to put our faith and trust in God. 1 Thessalonians tells us a similar thing. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. You see, folks, we comfort one another when we have faith, don't we? When we see faith in another person, it gives us strength. That's what it means to edify, to build up somebody. We can build up other people when we show and demonstrate our faith. Charlie Kirk did that. You and I can do that. All of God's people can do that if we're willing to share our faith. And the most comforting thing can be is when we share our faith, it gives other people hope. We hope in something much better and greater than us and what the society we have. We hope in the Lord above. You see, the Israelites needed to turn back to the Lord above, not to the created things, not to these wicked things that people made by their own hands. Why do people make false gods to begin with? It's to manipulate other people. It's to get money. It's to exonerate themselves from the wicked ways that they've chosen to follow. And folks, it is a choice. So to create these false gods. But we need to turn back to the one and only God. And the Israelites needed to turn back, and Gideon was doing that. So if we continue reading, as in verse 32, "Therefore on that day they called him Jerubbabel, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he has torn down his altar." And you know, folks, that in its way is a challenge. Okay, if Baal's a god, let him come get me. Elijah said the same thing when you get to the book of Elijah, and talked about that. The Israelites were false gods who were not gods. They were creation of man's own hands, wooden totem poles. But you see, this came from the influence of the wicked nations around them. But God chose a people to be different, to be distinct, and to worship Him, and not the falsehoods that are created by man. Now, it doesn't say here, as we read this next verse, how much time has occurred. But word would have spread. The people around him, the surrounding nations would have heard what happened. The other tribes and cities there close to Joash's home would have heard. In verse 33, "Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east gathered together, and they crossed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel." And if you look on the map about this, it's not far from where Gideon's home was. And folks, there were thousands and thousands of people that had assembled together. These armies of the Amalekites, the Midianites. You see, I think they were ready to wage war against them because of what Gideon had done. But look in verse 34. "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon." And folks, the Spirit of the Lord doesn't come upon us if we don't have faith. But he had faith, and he was being obedient. "Then he blew the trumpet, and the Abzarites gathered behind him," which was... Now, this was the same city of people who wanted to kill him. But now they're supporting him. "And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, all who gathered behind him. He also sent messengers to Asher, to Zebulun, and to Naphtali. And they all came up to meet them." See, folks, through faith and courage that Gideon had, and through obedience to God, a change was occurring in Israel. It was sweeping over Israel. And I believe it can sweep over our nation too. You see, we need a whole host of modern-day Gideons to stand up. It happened then. The people that were against him, because of the courage to live out his faith, it changed hearts. And now the Israelites were supporting Gideon. You might say a movement was being started. That started to happen with Charlie Kirk. If you look at any of the newsreels, I call them newsreels, videos and YouTube clips about Charlie Kirk, thousands upon thousands of people are saying that I heard him talk about Jesus and I believe. Thousands of people are wanting to start these new chapters of Turning Point USA. You know, there was a lot of politics in what Charlie Kirk did, but he said his foremost goal was his faith and to tell other people about Jesus. And he touched the hearts of thousands of people. Now, I'm not trying to make him out to be a saint. No, I'm trying to make him out to be an average person where you and I can relate to and recognize that we can have a similar effect on other people. You see, I think Charlie Kirk was a modern-day Gideon. He talks about his former life and the sins that he struggled with, just like me and you. But he made a choice. And he chose to go forward and to serve God And yes, he paid a price for it. The evil of this world shot and killed him. He's not the only one. We can read about the martyrs throughout history. You see, sometimes there's a takes courage. When one person stands up, sometimes that's all it takes. I believe it can happen in our country too. Gideon had the courage and faith to be obedient and to turn back to God, and it affected all those around him. Change swept over the Israelites. I believe change can sweep over our society if we have the courage to do the following things. And I want to share some follow-up passages here that I believe that validate this thought. If we repent and choose God over the false idols of this world. And folks, there are a lot of false idols. It might be just activities. I don't know what it is in your life, if you have any at all. But anything can be a false god. If we live by faith when others are against us, just like Joash and Gideon did, we have a perfect example here. They were average men. We can do the same thing. And if we spread the hope of the gospel, you see, there's hope in God's word, folks. How often do we talk about the hope that we have in Christ? We need to be doing that. But I'd like to share these supporting scriptures with you in closing, because it validates, I believe, this thought process. Number one, if we repent and choose God over the false idols of the world. Isaiah 15 tells us, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." You know, this one passage could be a sermon. Look at the beauty that's contained right here. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Have you ever considered that second sentence? His thoughts. You know, God knows our thoughts. We've talked about that before. God knows what's on our heart and on our tongue before we speak it. He knows us, folks. But if we turn to him, return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And he will abundantly pardon. You see, folks, no matter our sin, we can turn to God. When we turn to him in sincerity, we find love. We find mercy. We find redemption through Jesus Christ. And he abundantly pardons. Isn't that the hope that the world needs to hear? Because there's a lot of God's children who have been swept up in false idols. We need to pray for them. We need to lead by example, don't we? Let us turn from our wicked ways. We have them too. We need to be repenting, folks. Number two, the second scripture I wanted to share, because I said live by faith when others are against us. That's what Joshua told the Israelites. I've used this scripture many, many, many times. I'll always, because it's a favorite of mine. It should be a marker verse in your Bible to turn to. Because we all have choices, and we all make choices every day. Joshua said in chapter 24, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord," stop right there. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, you're making a choice whom you're going to serve. And you can substitute for that word evil for just a moment. If it seems inconvenient to you to serve the Lord. Oh, it's not always convenient to go to church. Or if it seems difficult to serve the Lord. Oh, there's so many rules and stuff. I see all these other people living without God. I don't think I have to either. Too, it's not easy. You can substitute a lot of behavioral patterns right there for that one word. But evil sums it all up. Because when you put anything before God, it is evil. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And that's what that's what Joash and Gideon were doing now in Israel. They were serving the gods that he mentioned right here. That's the land that they were in. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We make that choice every day. Every day we make a choice, folks. But if we make that choice to turn back to God. God will forgive us. And other people will gather strength from our example. And the ultimate hope we find is in God's Word and what Jesus said. And you think about it, because I made the comment a little earlier. God is with us each and every day. He knows what's on our heart. He went to Gideon, and He called Gideon, and He used Gideon. And Jesus said, and it applies to me and you, all that the Father gives me will come to me. Stop it right there, halfway through. All that God gives me, the sinners, those that need repentance, all that God gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. You see, it goes back up to that passage we read in Isaiah. He will have mercy on him and our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Folks, that's the hope that others need to hear. And we need to have the courage to share our faith, to give other people hope. And we need to have the conviction in our hearts to tear down every false idol that we may have in our life, whatever they may be. Family members can be a false idol. Friends can be a false idol. Our occupation can be a false idol. Whatever it may be. Nothing should come before us in our relationship with God. I've said it many times as I've been privileged to stand here in the pulpit. Every time you hear a message, it needs to be personal. Because the gospel is about your personal relationship with God. God knows you. And He created you with a purpose. And that purpose is to do good works. We all have that in common. Our talents may be different. Whatever they may be, use your talent to live a life that glorifies God. To share your faith and the reason for your hope with other people. In doing that, you will be the example that edifies and encourages other people. And that's what our society desperately needs in this day and time. Just like it needed in the day and time when God called Gideon an average person. And folks, He calls us too. I pray that we will be obedient like Gideon was, because we have the ability and strength to do it when we exercise our faith. I pray the Lord will touch your heart. To look inside, to see what you may need to repent of. And regardless of the past that lies behind you, God can use you for a purpose going forward if you forsake your evil ways, turn to Him, and have faith in His Word. May He add His blessings is my prayer.